So this is a continuation in the series on Say What. And since this is this will be interesting because there's somewhat repetition in this, but it's also there's a lot of nuance, a lot of things we want to look at in these verses that we're going to go over. So Christians believe in respectable sins. We are okay with some sins, and not so common among us, that are so common among us that we often dismiss any critique of them. Jerry Bridges, in his book Respectable Sins, has placed his finger on the problem. The sins he calls respectable are sins that we as believers might tend to ignore since they are socially acceptable, or perhaps we don't take them seriously because they are so frequently committed throughout our day. I started thinking of these sins from the aspect of sin flowing out of our mouths. And it is interesting that many of the respectable sins that Jerry writes about ends up at least potentially being expressed verbally. For example, some of the sins that he writes are anxiety, frustration, and as I say, they just think about how they are often expressed verbally. Discontentment, unthankfulness, pride, selfishness, a lack of self-control, impatience and irritability, anger, judging others, envy, jealousy, and additionally, he has a chapter that's called Sins of the Tongue. So those aren't even addressed necessarily as sins that come from the mouth, but think about how often those things are demonstrated through the mouth, through the tongue. Think about why these happen, this is an issue. The reason that so many sins express themselves so easily through our words is because words expose the heart. Our words flow out of what we love and treasure. So tonight we're going to look at two similar passages, but two different contexts with different but similar meanings. Both passages will help us see the strong connection between our heart and our words, and the difference between how believers and unbelievers are affected. When Jesus was on earth, he addressed both believers and unbelievers on the reality of what comes out of our mouth and what it can tell us about what we treasure. Although Jesus' teaching concerning these words has broad application over all that we say and do, these two passages will focus our words in the context of hypocrisy, condemnation, and judging others. It was very easy for me to want to go someplace else in looking at these because we know this truth can express itself in all areas of our life. And it is an important truth, but in this context, we're going to stick with these areas because there's enough there for us to worry about. But before I get to the passages I actually want to dive into a little bit, I also want to look at kind of at this after the fact a little bit, but a similar passage in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, kind of to set the stage. And I think it's still good, even though it's very similar, it's still another background piece. So if you want to look there, Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus is warning the disciples in this passage about false teachers that will come and try to deceive them, looking like sheep, but are ravenous wolves. But according to this passage, false teachers can be identified by their fruit, by the fruit that they bear and the way that they behave. And just as we identify trees from their fruit, by their fruit, we can identify people by their actions. So in Matthew 12, first passage I want to look at is Matthew 12, 33 through 37. It's interesting, just a few chapters later, Matthew uses this passage, a similar passage again, with a little twist to it. So in Matthew 12, 33 through 37, Jesus says, just denounce the towns that he has been in. This is just kind of sets the context of what's going on. And he had been in those towns who had refused to repent and turn to God, despite his many miracles and teachings. And around this time, the Pharisees began to challenge Jesus concerning his actions on the Sabbath. First, the disciples were pulling and eating grain as they walked through the field on the Sabbath. You would think they were eating large loaves of bread or something, right? But they're pulling off little pieces of grain and just grabbing them. They must have been very hungry. Later, Jesus heals a man with a deformed hand on the Sabbath. Both considered law-breaking deeds by the Pharisees. It seems the story reaches a crescendo when the Pharisees hear of Jesus healing a man who was demon-possessed. Then they accuse him, Jesus, of casting out demons because he was, in fact, the prince of demons. So not only are the Pharisees accusing Jesus of breaking Levitical law, but now they're accusing Jesus of being Satan's prince. Jesus then warned the Pharisees of God's certain unforgiveness and condemnation if they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees had already begun considering how they could kill Jesus, and it was within this context that Jesus speaks directly to the Pharisees as the disciples listen in. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will give an account for every careless word you speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So if a tree is good, it will bear good fruit. If a tree is bad, it will bear bad fruit. Only living, healthy plants can bear good fruit. A tree that is diseased and dying cannot bear good fruit. This is how the New Living Translation says it, first verse. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, the fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. So Jesus immediately going to the heart of the Pharisees by exposing them for who they really are. The Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus by his words and actions, placing themselves on the side of righteousness and Jesus on the side of evil by accusing him of being the prince of demons. Thus justifying one more justification in their plan to attempt to take Jesus' life. So Jesus is directly calling the Pharisees out by calling them a brood of snakes. Jesus knows their intentions in their heart. The Pharisees worked hard to maintain the appearance of righteousness among the people. But Jesus reminds those listening that just as a tree is identified by its fruit it produces, so the Pharisees are recognized by the evil fruit that comes out of their mouths. Jesus rhetorically asked the Pharisees, how can you speak good when you're evil? The Pharisees were hypocrites. They were judging Jesus as if they were God and they were the righteous one. Jesus accused the Pharisees of trying to speak good while knowing that their hearts were evil. As they fought to preserve their own power and authority by trying to break the authority of Jesus, the Pharisees were content to place themselves directly against Christ and all that he had come to accomplish. The mouth speaks from whatever overflows out of the heart. Whatever the treasure is in the heart determines what is said. They were simply speaking and acting out of the evil that was flowing in their hearts. Jesus elaborates on the biblical reality of the formation and foundation of speech. A good person speaks good things out of the good treasure in his heart, and an evil person speaks evil out of the evil treasure in his heart. Notice Jesus clearly uses the word treasure to describe where our words originate. Words originate from the treasure that is in our hearts. What we say directly comes from the overflow of what we love and idolize. The unbelieving Pharisees simply spoke what they craved: power, prestige, legalistic righteousness, and ultimately hate and murder. Jesus told the Pharisees that on Judgment Day, they would give an account for every idle and careless word they spoke. Think about that. Put that standard to ourselves, if that was true. By their words, they would be justified, or by their words, they would be condemned. Doesn't sound like they have much hope. It's no wonder that the words carry so much weight at the judgment, since words reflect the reality of what we truly love. If words are important enough to be judged, then we certainly need to take them seriously. Sadly, in the context of Matthew's account of this story, Jesus ultimately contrasts the unrepentance of the Pharisees to the repentance of Nineveh. When Jonah called on the people to repent and turn to God, they did. The Pharisees simply continued to harden their heart and their stance against Jesus to the very end. The second passage I want to look at is Luke 6, 43 through 45. This time, Jesus is talking to the disciples after healing multitudes of people who are simply wanted to come and touch Jesus. And it acted like multitudes were doing that. They simply wanted to come and touch Jesus, and they were healed. Jesus begins teaching his disciples in this context the Beatitudes. He's teaching them and telling them to love their enemies, not judge and not condemn others, but to be generous and loving, being careful not to judge another brother's sin while completely ignoring their own. This is what God's word says in Luke 6, 43 through 45. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure in his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. It says it right there. Each tree is known by its fruit. The immediate context of being a hypocrite and judging fellow believers is what connects the reader to the previous teachings. In the English Standard Version, the translators choose to use the linking word for to start out these verses as a continuation from Christ's teaching describing someone pointing out the speck of sin in a brother or sister's eye while ignoring the log of sin in their own. In other words, hypocrisy and judging are bad fruit in this context. Although it doesn't explicitly talk about judging your brother verbally, the context links heart treasure, condemnation, judging, hypocrisy all together in thoughts and words. This time, Jesus is addressing followers of Christ, but the principles are the same as they were towards the Pharisees. A tree is identified by its fruit, and fruit is identified by words and actions. A tree must produce the type of fruit that comes from the species of that tree. The description here is that Jesus uses is that figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from bramble bushes, which are sticker thorns. And you might think, well, hopefully you do. Well, duh. I mean, that can't happen, right? But as believers, we tend to easily dismiss bad fruit that pops up in our own life, like those respectable sins in Jerry Bridges' book. But the implication is that believers should bear good fruit, because in Christ, that is the kind of tree we are. How can we bear bad fruit since we are made to bear good fruit in Christ? Therefore, judging our brother in the hypocrisy that accompanies it should not exist together with the good fruit in a believer's life. You should be producing the fruit common to the tree you are and represent. Christ teaches the same truth in the passage as he did with Matthew concerning our heart treasure. What you say flows from the heart, from your treasure in your heart. A good person produces the good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I put the word treasury in there because that's what the New Living Bible uses, the New Living Translation. And I like that word for this. A treasury is full of treasures. And typically, a treasury is locked with a key, hidden key, or password. But our words flow from our treasury and allow others to see what we treasure. Judging others and the hypocrisy that goes along with it has no place in the believer's life, has no place in the believer's treasury. Jesus follows this section with the importance of building a good foundation by doing what Jesus commands in his word. If you do what Jesus says in his word, and in his words, you will be like a mighty house built on a strong foundation, and then you will bear good fruit. So one of the things that I wanted to look at is the similarities and differences in these. It's important to us to look at the similarities and contrast these two passages just to get a full perspective and application of the passages to our personal lives. So both passages teach that a tree is known by its fruit, illustrating that a person is known by the fruit their life produces, by their words and actions. Both passages teach that what we say overflows from the treasures in our heart. Both passages also tell us that our words expose the treasure in our hearts. Both passages in their respective context are addressing the problem of judging, condemnation, and hypocrisy. The Pharisees believed they were good and righteous and condemned Christ while their hearts were evil. Believers' words expose their true heart treasure that can take place, that can take the place of Christ and overflow into words against another. So these two passages are addressing one of the contrasts, is a couple contrasts. The two passages are addressing two different groups of people. Matthew is addressing the Pharisees and unbelievers. Luke is addressing believers, those following Christ. These passages are addressing two separate situations and two separate issues. The Matthew passage is addressing the Pharisees who are trying to trap Jesus, find a way to destroy him. They were, in fact, speaking against the Holy Spirit, accusing Jesus of being a part of Satan and directly setting themselves against Christ. Luke is teaching his disciples in the context of loving their enemies, loving one another, giving to one another versus judging and condemning brothers and sisters. Both passages are speaking of two different situations involving hypocrisy. The Pharisees had evil thoughts and intentions while pretending to be righteous as they set themselves directly against Christ through their words and actions. Believers are being warned about the kind of hypocrisy that will judge a brother's sin while ignoring the sin in their own life. There are two separate consequences to these stories. The Matthew passage talks about unbelievers being judged on judgment day for every idle word that they speak, while Luke warns believers about the bad fruit of hypocrisy by judging and condemning the actions of fellow brothers and sisters. So what should we hear? Some of it's very straightforward, very clear. But so what do we do with that? If you look at these passages, there is a very real sense of at least being aware of the fruit in others. There is a real sense of the reality of knowing who a good tree is and who is a bad tree. or who is a believer versus an unbeliever, or at least a false teacher, or a wolf in sheep's clothing. Otherwise, why would Jesus tell the disciples to look for fruit? That's how you discern false teachers. So there is a sense of judgment that we must use. We all bear either good fruit or bad, depending upon the kind of person we are. Our words reveal what we love and treasure. Unbelievers will be judged by their idle, careless words on the final judgment, while believers have Christ's righteousness to cover over their sinful words. We should bear fruit, and the words that come out of our mouth should reflect the fruit that comes from a redeemed life in Christ. Judging others happens in the heart, but flows into words. Judging and condemning others with our words comes from us wanting to be God over others and thinking we are better or more righteous than those we are judging. If you struggle with your mouth, confess your sin, consider the kind of fruit you are displaying. If you are a believer, consider the fruit you bear through your speech. Ask God's forgiveness for bearing bad fruit and meditate on Scripture to change your heart treasure, wrong thinking, along with your ungodly speech. In Respectable Sins, Jerry Bridges has a whole section devoted to judgmentalism, which may help us think more clearly about this sin. And here are some thoughts from that chapter. We can be tempted to judge and condemn others based upon our personal convictions that we elevate to biblical truth. It doesn't matter what side of the disputable issue you're on, since we can become judgmental towards anyone whose opinion is different than ours. And then we hide our judgmentalism under the cloak of Christian convictions. When we judge others whose preferences and practices are different than ours, we are putting ourselves in the role of God, a role which God has reserved for himself. Even when we judge in accordance to Scripture and making a judgment based solely on God's word, we can sin if we judge from the attitude of self-righteousness or if we judge others harshly. We sin if we condemn the obviously flagrant sins of others without at the same time acknowledging that we ourselves are still sinners before God. Judging others based upon doctrinal differences is an area where we need to be careful not to judge in an ungodly manner or to be self-righteous or arrogant. Good, accurate, biblical doctrine is vital, but one is saved through faith in Christ, not following a certain doctrine. Because we do believe so strongly in the importance of sound doctrine, we can easily become hypercritical of those with whom we disagree. We should express our disagreements, but we should do so in a way that does not denigrate into character assassination. Most of us can slip into the sin of judgmentalism from time to time, but there are those among us who practice it continually. These people are what I have called having a critical spirit. They look for and find fault with everyone and everything. And that's in the church. Some of our respectable sins, such as selfishness, impatience, and anger, are often expressed more. Some of our acceptable sins, such as selfishness, impatience, anger, are often expressed more freely at home among our family members than in public, especially the Christian public. This is especially true when it comes to our words and attitude of condemnation towards our family. So listen to your own words and judge your fruit. We should listen to the words, our words, when we speak and consider the treasure behind what we are saying. We can use the knowledge of our heart treasure and idols to repent and use Scripture to change our wrong thinking and misplaced idols and treasures. When I was on vacation last week or whenever it was, while I was on vacation, we went to a church service with my in-laws, and the pastor mentioned something that made me think about it. The guys will tell you when you're planning sermons, preparing sermons, that things like jump out at you all the time, and you can't let it down. And so I had two sermons, so stuff was always coming in my head, stuff to think about, pray about. But we're at this message, and he said, and I thought was applicable, he said that judging is only judging when you are comparing someone else to yourself. And the intent is to make yourself look better than the other person, even if it's just in your own eyes. So I thought that was wise. And then when you truly understand Christ's righteousness, when you truly understand that it's Christ's righteousness that covers over your sin, and then that is your only hope, then you will understand that there is no reason or purpose to judge someone else's sin. Your personal righteousness means nothing. Only Christ's righteousness can make us right before the Father. And if you have Christ's righteousness on your behalf, then your words will not condemn you nor acquit you. Only Christ can do that. But the fruit you bear each day should reflect Christ as your ultimate treasure. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I'm thankful for this place, fellowship. Thankful for the preaching of your word. I'm thankful for all that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that we as believers are not judged by our idle words and the sin that we struggle against, but it is in fact your righteousness that covers over us. Help us to remember that. Help us as we comb through our life for bad fruit, and that we would look through Scripture to change, that we would find help when we need it from others and those who are with the church, and that you would help us remember that it is your righteousness, not our own, and the grace that you give us each day. Help us to preach the gospel to ourselves each day, to remember that every day as we go out. Help us to bear much good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.